But what we had here is we had an unusual timeline. Because with that buy signal, if you look at the...
recién remodeladas.
Well, you know, something really interesting and sort of scary has started to happen. I don't know, it's a complicated subject and I don't really know the answer, but it's as weird as...
Suns, large solar
system. You gotta run this idea by Bonnie Shapiro.
Pictures they make these days are all in TV. Cut, 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 cut. The opening shot of Wells' Touch of Evil was 6.5 minutes long.
All right. All right, win, win, win.
A look of pure horror, pure torture passed over his face.
All right. All right, Henry. Oh, my. Oh, my, yes.
The second game, more phonetics. It is not a matter of technology. It is a way of thinking. Its creative importance would be immense. But I have no idea whether it will ever come into being, or even whether it is possible. I hope it is, because we need it. The two examples in the previous chapter, fox and rabbit ecologies, flower petal patterns, are very different in detail, but they illustrate the same philosophical point about how the universe works. It does not go directly from simple laws like the laws of motion to simple patterns.
A 3 or 4 inch way, set up the whole picture with that one traction shot. My father was, keep grip on that shoot.
Hey, what about absolute beginners? Man, that was an extraordinary shot.
What the hell was that? Never heard of it.
Fuck this piece of shit. I'm done.
You have heard us say it so often. It is a pleasure. It is a joy.
Wait, Temple, it's in English.
We're in English. We're talking about American movies. Orson Welles. Mass.
Can you call me now, please?
I've got
a telescope. Hi, Buck. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. What do you got for me?
Okay, here it is. The Graduate, Part 2.
Oh, good.
You give us so much pleasure, and you bring us so much joy. Yes.
Hey,
But you won't know where I am. I mean, I don't even know where I'll be.
You hear me? Put my life on the line. My fucking life.
It is a pleasure and a joy to be here and to be with you. It is a pleasure and a joy to explore, to discover, and to work with you, as well as it is to love. Yes, to love with you.
Like this.
Fuck family, fuck loyalty. It costs them a dime, you're a fucking pariah.
Can be represented up to 94% accuracy by the lambda system with four bells. And the number of petals on a plant is a consequence of a complex dynamic interaction between all of the planets. It just happens to be a golden arrow, Fibonacci. Flower petal patterns are very different in detail, but they illustrate the same philosophical point about how the universe works. It does not go directly from simple laws like the laws of motion to simple patterns like the elliptic. Instead, it passes through an enormous tree of ramifying complexity, which somehow collapses out again into relatively simple patterns on appropriate scales.
The three principals are still with us. Dustin Hoffman, Anne Bancroft, Catherine Ross.
I gave that fuck pieces of my soul, Adriana. You know what he said to me?
It is an exquisite pleasure and joy. An exquisite pleasure and joy to love you.
He said I should have a fucking drink.
When?
Up there when we were up at Uncle Pat's farm.
Well, you don't need to listen to him. Isn't that why you have a sponsor?
Him and Tony P. Breaking my balls. Teasing me like when I was little.
The bedroom upstairs listening to everything that happens. They've got a daughter who's just graduated.
That's good.
Warning, warning. You and I are friends, Will Robinson.
I would really like people to know there are sides of my personality that no one has seen. I would just like people to know the real me.
To fall, to stand, to be in love.
Work our way to the general from the particular. One of the most familiar symmetric forms is the one inside which you spend your life. The human body is bilaterally symmetric, meaning that its left half is near enough the same as its right half.
Gotta have a mic. This world today. Gotta have some sort of a power
power repeating projectile device. It's designed. It is. New metaphysics, time channel, it's catching it in one of the cycles. We have a lot of those around here. Hard to avoid. Many have tried. And done quite well.
And here we are fighting fiercely. Under this beautiful sun, playing this exquisite game. In other words, they are simultaneously living at two levels. A level which is meta to the game role which they're involved in. Well, finally, you live in a place that is meta to all the roles you live in. You live meta to your body. You live meta to your desires, meta to your feelings. And you start to center in a place. And once you live in that more and more and more, attachment keeps falling away. That doesn't mean action falling, but attachment to action. And then all these next steps start to happen. This has been an adventure for me to share these experiences.
Tammy and I are so very glad that we've been granted this opportunity.
With you. And so it is with pleasure and joy, and so it is with love, that we welcome you.
Each
of you and all of you, we welcome you to this EMS exploration.
I don't hear you giving me any names, so I guess when I shot you in the belly, I aimed a little too high. No! You keep holding out on me like this, and I'm going to have to get really nasty.
Warfare is the greatest affair of state, the basis of life and death.
Griffin loved it. He just wanted me to run it by you. It's a hardy band of human survivors.
Listen,
generations removed from the mothership. They have no history, only mythology. They've lost all their technological...
Turn that mic off.
Sometimes she called it her outfit, sometimes her uniform. For as long as I could remember, it was always hanging in the closet or hanging on the clothesline or getting washed out by hand at night or being ironed in the kitchen.
One possible solution is being tested in the field of American politics to streamline the grotesquely inefficient system of elections.
Rudimentary mathematical skills.
And VoteAuction.com, in turn, employs only four people to transmit not merely information, but actual money directly to the consuming voter. It's a forum for people voluntarily to offer their vote to the highest bidder.
To begin finding the mattering, to begin finding the mattering in your life.
Sarah Price.
Another hot dance superset coming right up.
Travel later today with that, you know, that the blizzard thing.
Oh, that blizzard thing. That blizzard thing. Oh, well, here's the report. The National Weather Service is calling for a big blizzard thing.
Yes, they are. But, you know, there's another reason why today is especially exciting.
Especially cold.
Especially cold, okay. But the big question on everybody's list.
Okay, on their chap lip.
On their chap lip, right. lips. Do you think Phil's gonna come out and see his shadow?
Punxsutawney Phil!
That's right, woodchuck chuckers. It's Groundhog Day! Get up and sit that hog out there!
Yeah! Ooh-wee, come here, Groundhog!
But I hate doing musicals. I hate being out of town with a musical. I hate watching the thing you've already cut, but it's got to stay in for 5 days because until the orchestrations arrive.
Right.
I hate putting in an improvement, and then you wait 5 days, and then you put it in, and it's worse. But everything is worse in a musical when you first put it in. So then you have to wait another 3 days to see if it's really worse or better.
During, you know, so-called alpha states, this bandwidth seems to expand.
Welcome. Yes, welcome. Mattering. Everyone wants to matter, don't they? But then they don't want to matter too much, do they? Sometimes at the pinnacles of success and happiness, it feels as if everything matters. Everything matters and you have it all. And yet in the troughs of despair, it can feel that exact same way too. Everything matters, but you don't have any of it. And then there are those times. Yes, those times, often in the throes of confusion, self-doubt and uncertainty, when it feels as if too much matters or that nothing matters at all.
Furthermore, what's really exciting is, I don't think it's been since really the Renaissance where artists have been able to use a medium, could say, is the dominant communication form of the society.
Artists are able to use the medium that's a dominant mm-hmm. communication
This time we don't fall. Don't repeat. Stay back. See her as the aggressor.
Form in right. society.
Yeah, the medium that I use as an artist to do the kind.
Then this piece plays in one shot until he gets up. Generally, this stays her point of view scene. And that means we're a little closer on her than we are on him. Which makes us identify subconsciously with her.
But I want to do
it's
this
the same
noise.
Medium
it's
that the same medium us.
That.
Rather than him.
Mattering. As valuable as it may be, as touted as it is, and as much as you may want it, mattering frightens people. Mattering frightens you. In fear, many deny it and discount it. You hear such things as, nothing matters. Everything matters. Too much matters. And then, it's all relative anyway, right? In fear, mattering is often couched in cliché. You hear such things as, I have my health, I have my family, that's all that matters. I have, fill in the blank. And that's all that matters. And usually, that's all that is ever really said about it. Couched in cliché, people come up with labels. And once they can fill in the blank of what matters, what really matters to them, they dismiss the subject entirely. Either in denial or discounting or couched in cliché, mattering frightens you. In fear, some defend and distract themselves. You hear such things as, what does it really matter anyway? I know what matters to me, but what's it going to give me? What's it going to get for me? Hey, I have too many other things to be concerned about. Mattering just doesn't matter.
But Live With, it's the same medium that gives us CNN and all these other programs like this. It's really an extraordinary time. That hasn't existed.
New metaphysics. Still new. Still meta. And oh, goddamn, is it still physical? At least on the outside. Outside of my bubble. The bubble of my energy bodies. Spin it around, use some arcs and radii and whatnot. Draw the picture. It's been done before.
Not really.
Never been done before. I don't think anything's ever been done before.
The music's on us. Music and more.
The foxes, rabbits, and grass play a mathematical computer game with complicated and probabilistic rules. Yet important features of their artificial ecology can be represented to 94% accuracy by a dynamical system with four variables. And the number of petals on a plant is a consequence of a complex dynamic interaction between all the primordia, which just happens to lead via the golden angle to Fibonacci numbers. The Fibonacci numbers are clues for the mathematical Sherlock Holmes is to follow up. They are not the master criminal behind those clues. In this case, the mathematical Moriarty is dynamics, not Fibonacci. Nature's mechanisms, not nature's numbers. There is a common message in these two tales. Nature's patterns are emergent phenomena. They emerge from an ocean of complexity like Botticelli's Venus from her half-shell, unheralded, transcending their origins. They are not direct consequences of the deep simplicities of natural laws. Those laws operate on the wrong level for that. They are without doubt indirect consequences of the deep simplicities of nature, but the route from cause to effect becomes so complicated that no one can follow every step of it. If we really want to come to grips with the emergence of pattern, we need a new approach to science. One that can stand alongside the traditional emphasis on the underlying laws and equations. Computer simulations are a part of it, but we need more.
Don't worry, Lucille. I was just grazed. You got any beers around this place?
No way I'm giving you any alcohol. Besides, it's not what you came here for anyway, is it?
No.
Go ahead. You're worse without him.
Thanks. You're the best. Lucille's my parole officer. She's a dyke, but God knows why. With that body of hers, she could have any man she wants. The pills come from a girlfriend who's a shrink. She tried to analyze me once, but she got too scared.
I haven't seen you like this in a while.
Had a fight with some cops.
Didn't happen to kill any of them, did you?
I mean, not that I know of. But they know they've been in a fight, that's for damn sure.
How the hell do you suppose I'm going to square this with the board?
There ain't no squaring it, not this time. This isn't some barroom brawl. Or some creep with a gas can trying to torch someone. Oh, hey, this is big.
Settle down, Marv. Take another pill.
Hey, there ain't no settling down. This is blood for blood and by the gallons. This is the old days and the bad days, the all or nothing days. They're back. There's no choices left. And I'm ready for war.
Prison was hell for you, Marv. It's going to be life this time.
Hell's waking up every goddamn day and not even knowing why you're here. But I'm out now. It took somebody who was kind to me getting killed to do it, but I'm out. I know exactly what I gotta do.
Number one!
And yet, despite the varieties of ways of denying or discounting, despite the numerous ways of defending and distracting, this is the year of mattering. It is a year where the energies and forces are fated, are destined to allow or force people to face, to allow them or to force them to face through confrontation or encountering what truly matters to them. It is a year amid all else that will transpire in which mattering will matter.
Put you through. I'm gonna explain why. I hope you're not so dumb that you won't understand. Ray Bones is the man that you're dealing with now. And when Bones finds out what you did, he's gonna take everything, including the sporty little hat you got on your head. And then most likely he'll shoot you, so you won't tell on him. Now, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna hurt you. Now, you've got $310,000 in the bag here. I'm gonna take the $300 you scammed from the airlines, and the $10 that's left over, I'm gonna borrow from you and pay back at another time.
Wait. You take all my money, but you're borrowing part of it?
At 18%. Now, don't ask another fucking question. I'm leaving now.
Like the waters of a mighty ocean, people also represent a tremendous force. The understanding of which is of greatest importance to the American way of life. This force is known as consumer power.
And more particularly for you magicians, masterful magicians, engaged in the making of maps and dreaming of dreams and weaving those dreams, engaged in making vision, armed in creating reality.
I'm going to take the $300 you scammed from the airlines, and the $10 that's left over I'm going to borrow from you and pay back at another time.
Give them $300,000 salary this year. I'm going to take care of their health insurance, pay their phone bill. I'm going to give them one security guard, a maid.
Wait, you take all my money, but you're borrowing part of it?
Like this.
Fuck family, fuck loyalty. It costs them a dime, you're a fucking pariah.
Percent. Now don't ask another fucking question. I'm leaving now.
For you, it is a year to consciously develop your rapport, to mature your relationship, and then to create alliances with mattering.
you won't know where I am. I mean, I don't even know where I'll be.
I gave that fuck pieces of my soul, Adriana. You know what he said to me?
That's probably what's happening. We're just tapping into, we're able to tap into the field better. If we are, you know, this bandwidth is wider. If you look at kids, children are sort of walking around in a permanent hallucination.
He said I should have a fucking drink.
When?
Up there when we were up at Uncle Pat's farm.
Well, you don't need to listen to him. Isn't that why you have a sponsor?
They are, you know, if it's like my five-year-old, I mean, she's got imaginary this and imaginary that all the time, as all little kids do, kids under five. And it's been known that they are in a permanent, what they call theta state, or, you know, like an alpha state. They are hallucinating. Now, most of the studies of past lives have to do with little children.
Him and Tony P breaking my balls, teasing me like when I was little. I mean, what kind of fucked up, undermining shit is that to tell someone who's got the disease?
That are diffractals, or you could put a math program on there, and these are all very basic, simple, tiny things.
You know I could take him out in a second, that fat fuck.
Statement of the Athenian democracy.
By daylight, you can't see him.
The great age of the Greek playwrights, of Euripides, of Sophocles, and Aeschylus, is coterminous with the Athenian democracy of the 5th century BC.
Fly.
In its grand period of empire, based upon the notion of democracy, liberty to live as you choose, political involvement of the ordinary citizen.
That is to say, it is a year to create those alliances with the magic and with the mystery. Mattering. It's not enough just to know what matters. It's not enough just to have a label. It is important for you to create an alliance with mattering, to create an alliance with the magic of mattering, to create alliances with the mystery of mattering.
And further than that, you can have the system kind of, I mean, if you took enough time to create a product like that, you know, you can have the system learn from itself. So.
Exactly.
Bang! These kids won't even give a shit.
Don't talk like that. You're a better man than he is, a better person.
Fuck all the shit with Paulie and all. You know what hurts me worse? Right to my heart. Him and our asswipe cousin, that two-faced cocksucker. He could get us all killed with New York, and him, Tony, has to think about what to do with him now, after all this shit. Me, he don't need to fucking think. Well, maybe I need to think.
Software where you like do similar things you do with audio, you know, like have like delay, have echo, have reverb, reverse reverb, decay, you know, flanging, you know, all the.
Yo, Leo, you leave a trail like a fucking caterpillar.
And for you, as much as you already know of mattering, and you know a great deal, that is true. As much as you already know of mattering, and of what matters to you, it is a year to become more and more conscious. More and more conscious of mattering, and more conscious of what specifically. Fluid and flexible as it may be, but specifically. Matters to you.
Way back in 1988, on the 3rd of July, the USS Vincennes, a missile cruiser stationed in the Persian Gulf, accidentally shot down an Iranian airliner and killed 290 civilian passengers.
A very logical question is, so how do you know what the cause of your illness is? How do you know if it's brought out by negativity? How do you know if it's a spiritual challenge? You know, watch this.
Ever thought of that, you fat fucking scumbag?
Hey! Hey, wait a minute.
Tell me who sent you. I don't hear you giving me any names, so I guess when I shot you in the belly, I aimed a little too high.
But you won't know where I am. I mean, I don't even know where I'll be.
Daryl says that you use knowledge to keep me down.
Maybe I need to think. Ever thought of that, you fat fucking scumbag?
That's the guy, Adriana. My Uncle Tony. The guy I'm going to hell for.
I'm a yes person, and you are trying to raise us in a no environment.
If it's equus or equum, and I always get it wrong, while for us a horse is always a chivaus, and I never get it wrong because nobody writes horse. In fact, they don't write anything because they don't know how to read.
Some work is not for easily broken glass bottles. It is for madmen, people who are prepared to put their life on the line for love, who are prepared to gamble everything for their heart. Sufis are lovers, first and foremost lovers. And you know, if you have a human love affair, it can make you a little bit crazy. Maybe you aren't as punctual as you used to be. Maybe your mind doesn't work like it used to when you are in love. Well, how much more does it happen when you are in love with God and when you give yourself to that love for God? Maybe there are great, great souls who just live and die their longing, and that takes them home. But most of us need help. We need guidance. And the Sufi path, as it comes to you, as I'm going to try to share with you in these talks, give the guidance, or allow you to find the guidance that you need to help you on this strange, ambiguous, dusty road, which is sometimes visible and sometimes hidden, but leads home. Now, every different Sufi path has different practices. For example, I mentioned the whirling dervishes who do this wonderful dance, and other Sufi orders do chanting, or they have prayers that align the heart with God. I can only share with you what belongs to to my order. I said, we are the silent Sufis.
After quite a few years, 30 or 40, of struggling with this decision, because, you know, they're caught between a rock and a hard place. Either they can be alienated from themselves, not presenting who they really are, or they can have the sexual reassignment surgery, and then they're going to be alienated from society.
Hey!
This is the house of life!
So it takes a long time before you're willing to sacrifice society for yourself.
It's all over. It's all over.
It all goes back to its own place. So, with each breath, you silently repeat his name. And with the last, we go back into the nothingness of rock. We go from the outer world to the inner world and to the beyond. It is a very simple fact. Other Sufi practices, if you can repeat other sacred phrases, for example, the Shahada, the profession of faith that begins, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but God. This is a wonderful zikr to do. La ilaha illallah.
To become more and more conscious of the truth, what matters in the living, in the living and in the loving, in the living and the loving of your life. As we say, mattering can be alive. It can be alive with mystery. Mattering can be vivid. Vivid with magic. Mattering can be alive with mystery and vivid with magic. There is splendor. There is splendor in it. Now, whether in person or through a recording, you are here now. You are here now and you are listening. Something more, something beyond in you. Perhaps it's your higher self, or maybe it's your soul. It could be one of your unseen friends. Something more, something beyond in you is whispering to you. It's time. It's time. It is time for you to become more conscious of mattering. It is time for you to find the mattering. To begin finding the mattering in your life.
Curious, because we think of Picasso as the person who is the most inventive of the two. Braque's contributions, however, were often not carried all that far by Braque himself.
I have sat across the table from men who have told me of their of your homosexual advances. And since then, of course, I have learned of the fiscal irregularities. I have sat across the table.
For example, the lettering. Braque introduced the lettering.
From men who have told me of their of your homosexual advances.
Gary Geiserman here. It's doing my job. just a man of the ghetto. Modern day American black man. Finishing off the icing on the cake. In this most curious decade, conceptually, a giant decade. And I gotta tell you, we got some big ones going on right now. That is if you're participating. Because if you were alive in 93, you got your ticket. So you are a member. Going on now. Too numerous to go into now. They are interesting. Sometimes I can't even remember what they are.
But you won't know where I am.
Amid all the confusion and all.
I don't even know where I'll be.
This is long-term parking only. Increased security. Cards.
Tickets already punched. Security cleared. Bridge has given the okay. Movies were TV, then became movies. Partially, then reverted back to being TV again, and vice versa. Hollywood being what it is and all. You know, the Israeli-Arab mischief and the Hollywood accounting mystery mischief.
The poet, he was... a poet connected with the School of the Imagists in England.
H.D. and Richard Arlington.
Yes, all these. And they had the magazine here with Kreimborg, Alfred Kreimborg, Warren Stevens, called Others. And they published that magazine.
Didn't he publish some magazines himself that connected with your group?
Yes, two.
Or your friends.
Everybody's on mic. Even Mike Stand has one. And every band has one of them. Every man a band, and every band a band of gold. I'm just cruising in my caddy, going to Texas, writing on the back of an envelope. A song that'll make my life a life. That was made. I already drank the Johnny Black in the back seat. I already sold the past chapter of my life to some hook-nosed Jew down in some suburb of Nashville. But ever onward. Another storybook entry. Your new metaphysics, sort of a cataloger of sane, or the opposite, just going through the files, just flipping them, changing mode as it suits. Nothing needs to be wild, just deal them as they've been played.
Holding out on me like this, I'm gonna have to get really nasty.
A few good movies every couple hundred or so. Ricochet and Batman, the back wall there. racquetball action. Octagonal ricochets in the cable and semi-cable TV. Occasionally network. This is the man begging for itinerancy. Straw hat over my head. Can't see. Itinerant. Following war, which is what you have to do with that, since it already happened.
She worked Wednesdays through Sundays. Bye, Mom. I waited until she had started the car and had it warm. I listened as she pulled away from the curb. Then I got up and turned the sound on loud and went for the weeds. I smoked one and beat off while I watched a show about doctors and nurses. Then I turned to the other channel. Then I turned off the TV.
Gonna pay for what you did to me.
The music magazine only had one issue, unfortunately.
On the table 15 feet away, that's wrapped in a paper bindle with itself. One witness that's willing. Once again, welcome. Yes, dear one. Welcome. Let's begin our exploration by talking about why mattering matters. First of all, mattering feeds your soul. It strengthens it and it sharpens it. Now, soul never dies. You can't kill your soul. You have one soul that accompanies you through all the lifetimes, regardless of whether they are called parallel or past. All the simultaneous lifetimes you explore has but one soul that serves each of those expressions of self. You cannot kill your soul, but you can deny it, you can starve it, you can deaden it without killing it. And when you work with mattering, when you open to the magic, when you open to the mystery of mattering, it is the magic, it is the mystery that feeds your soul. As we say, feeds your soul, strengthens it and sharpens it. With greater acuity, mattering allows your soul's voice, to speak, to weep, to laugh, to cry. Mattering allows your soul's voice to sing. When you awaken to the mattering, it matters, because mattering feeds your soul. Secondly, mattering awakens your spirit, giving it purpose, giving it direction. Now, unlike soul, spirit is born anew in each and every lifetime. Each of your incarnations, past and parallel, each of them has its own expression of spirit. One soul, but numerous expressions of spirit in their particular lifetime. One, but the numerous lifetimes, many expressions of spirit. One soul, many spirits. Spirit can die. Spirit can be crushed. It can be killed, certainly so. And there are those whose spirits are dead, even as their soul is alive within them. But spirit can be awakened anew. It can be restored. It can be renewed. It can be resurrected. It can be born again, if you will. A new spirit, if you will. And mattering, you see, mattering is what can awaken. Not the only thing, but it can, several things can, certainly, but it can awaken your spirit. And as you understand, as we have suggested, indeed, and as you understand, spirit seeks soul, and soul waits to be found.
Every institution provides the people who are members of it with a social role to occupy. And typically, institutions that are vibrant and have a lot of power will specify that role in some sense as a list of virtues. It's true for churches, for schools, for any institution that has power over people and shapes them.
One nation.
The corporation, likewise, it provides us with a list of virtues, a kind of social role, which is the good consumer.
Why would the technician lie?
Because otherwise it would be next. To have the two blood samples close to each other.
Super hip one! Hip one! Hip one!
We're calling the sort of basic idea identity correction, like saying, okay, these things that are not really presenting themselves honestly or that hide something about their nature that's really scary, we want to bring that out. We want to show that. We want to demonstrate that. Like for the WTO, you know, we think that the WTO is doing all these terrible things that are hurting people, and they're saying the exact opposite. We're interested in correcting their identity in the same way that an identity thief steals somebody's identity in order to basically just engage in criminal practices. We target people we see as criminals, and we steal their identity to try to make them honest or to try to present a more honest face.
The plot is painfully thin. There is hardly any plot, but it's enough.
Now the blood from one to four.
Well, Vince, are you agreeing that this was a terribly handled case? You are saying that.
Oh, terribly handled by...
I think she said sex.
What's the difference?
Man, take this crazy pad. Man, it's a mad pad. Blue suede drapes, wall-to-wall television,
memories, yesterday, more music,
a pack of lampshades, plaid light bulbs.
Hip two.
Music radio with feathers from Birdland.
Weather.
Stereophonic telephone. Man, dig this crazy pad.
See the groundhog?
Yes, I am.
Do you think it's going to be an early spring?
I'm predicting March 21st.
Oh, good guess. You know, I think that actually is the first day of spring.
Got
Did you sleep well, Mr. Connors?
I slept alone, Mrs. Lancaster.
Would you like some coffee?
I don't suppose there's any possibility of getting an espresso or a cappuccino this morning, is there?
Oh, I really don't know.
How to spell espresso or cappuccino. This looks fine.
I hope you enjoyed the festivities.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm glad to.
There's talk of a blizzard.
Well, we may catch a break, and that blizzard's going to blow right by us. All of this moisture coming up out of the south, by midday, is probably going to push on to the east of us. And at high altitudes, it's going to crystallize and give us what we call snow. Probably be some accumulation. But here in Punxsutawney, our high's going to get up to about 30 today. Teens tonight, chance precipitation about 20% today, 20% tomorrow. Did you want to talk about the weather, or were you just making chit-chat?
Remember, a Hallmark card. When you care enough to send the very best. Tonight, from Hollywood, the makers of Hallmark Card bring you a transcribed story from the life of our host, Mr. Lionel Barrymore. And here's our distinguished host, Mr. Barrymore.
Well, I won a bear in a crap game in a saloon in Denver. I didn't want the fucking only, I was more afraid of the bartender than I was of the fucking bear. He said, get it out of here now. You want it and get the fucker. Get it out of here. So I was living at the Brown Palace Hotel, see? So I got the bear in a taxi and... you're a full-grown bear now. And it went around the way a bear do. So I paid the taxi and... I went to the elevator past the... It was late at night, you know, and the clerk says, you can't breathe. I says, So, got in the elevator. Elevator man, he didn't notice it until he got started. And then he said, why, you can't take that. I said, take us up. So he didn't know what to do. He took us up to where I lived, you see, up the room. And we went in there. Well, I was stinging. I fell on the bed, and I guess the bear did, too. Then in the morning, I had to order breakfast, see? So I ordered a couple of steaks and things. The waiter came up, and he happened to be a nice guy, the waiter did. He said, Jesus, one steak in a minute. Steak, shit, with this bed. Wait, I'll go down. I'll get something. So the bear ate my breakfast. And he had everything in sight. Oh, Jesus. And then he got kind of mean, you know. And then this fellow said, listen, he said, if you take my tip, you know what I do with that? He said, take it out to Ellich's Gardens. They've got a regular bear pit out there and thing. And I let them have it. Jesus, you don't want that goddamn thing. So I did. I took the bear out to Ellich's Gardens, see? And the bear, Jesus, he got down and went right straight up that bear pole, you know, they have, and stood on the top, you know. And then I said, goodbye, boy. Well, then I had to pay. They got a bill for 2 years, every year, for that fucking bear.
As the curtain falls on our show tonight, the Hallmark Hall of Fame leaves the air. Mr. Barrymore appeared by arrangement with MGM, producers of the Technicolor picture and CinemaScope, I Fucked a Bear for the FBI. Frank Goss speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
You're not under cross-examination here, Jack. What I need is a little clarification about the night Guy Bannister beat you over the head. Now, don't tell me you don't remember that. Because you called our office. You called our office from your hospital bed, and you were hopping mad about it. Now, here's my problem. You told me you and Guy were good friends for a long time.
More than 10 years.
And he never hit you before.
No, he never touched me.
Yet on November 22nd, 1963, the day the president's murdered, the police report says he pistol-whipped you with a .357 Magnum. It also says you had an argument about the phone bill. Here, take a look at it. Well, does a simple argument over a phone bill sound like a believable explanation to you?
There's more to it than that.
How much more?
I'll kill you if I have to.
I don't think I should talk about it.
Well, I'd ask God. We were friendly, you know. Heart attack, wasn't it?
Well, you buy what you read in the papers.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming. You have many education choices, and we're all grateful at the WTO that you have chosen to listen to us for an hour and to our messages about things that will impact everyone. By joining us here, you're essentially embarking with us on a mission. I'd like to start right at the beginning. As I was saying, trade liberalization is a project of faith. It's a crusade. And in any crusade, there are problems. There are invading armies. There are big blockades. And one of the problems that we run into in this crusade is starvation in the third world. You may recognize that symbol from those green bins you see, you know, where cans, bottles, blah, blah. The kind of recycling I'm talking about that we have developed at the WTO is not really this irrelevant kind of recycling where the target, individual consumers like you and me or non-edible industrial products, is such a tiny part of the problem. Rather, we're talking about really recycling what counts, where it counts. To begin to understand the theory behind this, you must first realize that the human body is not really very efficient. When ingesting heavy foods, only about 20% of the nutrients are absorbed by the alimentary passageway, while the other 80% finds itself expelled in post-consumer byproducts. Already 20 years ago, NASA scientists began to tap into this nutritional gold mine by developing filters that could transform their astronauts' waste into healthy, hygienic, and even delicious food once again. With the use of this technology, a single hamburger, for example, can be eaten more than 10 times, providing a cumulative total of 3 times the nutritional value of the original fresh hamburger. Now again, a certain amount of cultural openness is required as we investigate solutions.
Information?
I didn't say
that.
You
have other information?
I didn't say that. All I know is that he died suddenly, just before the Warren report came out.
Just as light seeks substance, and substance waits to be found, just as the masculine seeks the feminine, and feminine energy waits to be found, so spirit seeks your soul, and your soul waits to be found.
Why did God beat you, Jack?
Dead, it don't matter no more. But it was about all those people that was hanging around the office that summer. See, I was never part of the operation, you know. I was just there taking care of their private eye work, you know, as it came in for Guy. Not much did, but that's why I was there. It was a nut house. Oh, Cubans come and go. They all look the same to me. Dave Ferry. You know about him?
Yeah, we know Dave. Was he there?
Mm-hmm. Well, he practically lived there.
Don't put this one on.
See, the whole thing of this was the whole cloak and dagger stuff, you know. They called it Operation Mongoose. Mm. Whole idea was they were going to train these Cuban exiles, you know, for another invasion of Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, Bannister's office, that was part of the supply line, you know, from Dallas through New Orleans to Miami.
Frenchie.
They were stockpiling arms, explosives.
All this right under the noses of the intelligence community in Lafayette Square?
Yeah, hell yeah. Everybody knew everybody. You know, they were all part of the network. They were all waiting for the CIA. You know, pilots and then black operators and the civilians and the military. Hell, everybody in those days was running guns somewhere. Fort Jefferson, Bayou Bluff, Morgan City, you name it. Oh, McAllen, Texas, yeah, big gun run operation.
M1A1, select the switch, fully automatic, like a machine gun.
Bannister, where does he fit in all this?
Well, he was running his camp up north of Lake Pontchartrain there. You know, Ferry was doing a lot of the training. They had a shooting range, a lot of tropical territory, you know, like he got in Cuba. There's some Americans were trained there, too, a few. Nazi types, mercenaries. And Ferry, though, Jesus, he was the craziest. Anyway, late summer, the party was over. You know, because Kennedy didn't want another one of them Bay of Pigs, so we He told the FBI, shut up the camps, confiscate the napalm, C4, and stuff like that. So I think that the G-men, they were just going through the motions for Washington. See, their hearts were still with their old FBI buddy Bannister.
Oswald?
Yeah, he was there, too.
He was there.
He was there. Sometimes meeting with Bannister.
It's really giving an allowance, you know. It's like an expense. It's like a $12.
The door shut. Other times, you know, shooting the bull with whatever, but he was there, all right.
Was anyone else involved at Bannister's level?
Oh, yeah, one guy, I don't know. Big, white hair. I saw him come in the office once, but he was out of place. Like a society guy. And I can't remember his name, but Oswald was with him. But he had something to do with money, because Bannister, you know, you never kiss anybody's ass. Ooh, he kissed his. Clay something. Yeah, that was his name. Clay. Clay.
Bertrand?
Bertrand, yeah.
Bertrand?
Yeah, that
was... Clay Bertrand.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe
no, that's
not.
Right. Clay Bertrand.
Go.
No, that's
no,
right.
I gotta go.
He was in the Warren report. He got Oswald a lawyer.
Yeah.
Was Kennedy ever discussed, Jack?
I don't know.
The assassination, Jack?
No. Never. Not with me. Look, I gotta go. That's
hold
all
on.
I'm gonna
hold
say.
Hold on, Jack.
No.
Hold on. What's the problem? What's the problem?
Do I have to spell it out for you, Mr. Garrison?
Nobody knows what we're talking about here, Jack.
Oh, you are so naive.
I'll kill you if I have to.
Right, see you later. Bye.
Will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
Chance of departure today, 100%.
I think the big difference in the theater is that you're actually in front of living people, and they are telling you something, and you're telling them something.
You can feed your soul, strengthening it and sharpening it. You can add greater acuity so that your voice truly has, or rather so your soul truly has voice. And that voice can not only speak, it can sing. Mattering can awaken spirit, giving it direction, giving it purpose. Mattering can give your spirit life. Can give your spirit life, that breath that aspires.
Have a deal with the audience. They can pretty much do whatever they want with the audience because they're so connected. Them to the audience and the audience to them. They remember why they're there and what it is they love about this. And the audience hears what they're...
That breath that stirs the embers of your passion, that awakens your soul, that turns creativity to action, that breath and light of freedom itself. You see, mattering can give life to your spirit, allowing it to soar.
The book, whose first line is traditionally, if erroneously, translated in the beginning, that's to say we're not going to begin with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you'll see before we're finished that really ought to be translated when God began to create the heavens and the earth rather than in the beginning.
This was tricky. This was written this way. Cam put pans down to see his shoes. And there was some controversy about whether we should do it that way or start in the shoes. And I thought maybe start in the shoes, but it turned out they were right. Sometimes you can't tell until you shoot the scene. Sometimes you can't tell until you see it.
Dogdom in half a dozen cities with a determination usually reserved for kidnappers and rapists. Lenny Bruce died less than 2 months after his San Francisco appearance, a hypodermic needle embedded in his arm. But not even the silencing of his strident voice can stifle his endowment, the need for protest in contemporary society. Dr. Joel Fort, a lecturer in the sociology department at the University of California, served as a witness for Bruce in one of his numerous days in court.
When I first heard him as a comedian and on records before I got to know him, this aspect of what he had to say impressed me. His attempts to point out the deceit and hypocrisy existing in American life, because people are very resistant to having their basic values or their basic way of life questioned, let alone threatened in any way.
Develop what are called created wants. So you have to create wants. You have to impose on people what's called a philosophy of futility. You have to focus them on the insignificant things of life. The ideal is to have individuals who are totally dissociated from one another, whose conception of themselves, the sense of value, is just how many created wants can I satisfy?
This, I think, accounts for the harassment and persecution which Lenny Bruce endured from society and some of its representatives.
Other intellectuals, like sculptor Vito Polikas, unflinchingly endow Bruce with the qualities of a messiah.
As recently as just as a matter of 2 or 3 weeks before his death, Lenny Bruce influenced my thinking tremendously. I learned about myself. I learned about my own hypocrisy. I listened to him as a student. I listened to him as a great teacher. And then I remarked over and over to my students throughout these years that there was really one great rabbi, one great teacher. And look to him. He will be placed amongst the great.
Tammy and I are so very glad that we've been granted this opportunity to talk with you today. And say hello.
Yes. Hello, everyone.
And we want to say to you that we are so very, very sorry. I believe, Tammy, because the God I serve is still God. I believe the sun will shine again.
I'll do it too, Jim.
Do you want to sing it?
I'll do it.
Can you do it?
I sure
will. All right, Tammy Faye is going to sing a song for you just before we leave our house.
Maybe you're hurting and you need this song today too, so I'll sing it for both of us, okay?
I feel like God has forgiven me of so much that I will forgive everyone who has hurt us. And so we just want everyone to begin to love one another, and that the church world will love one another, that the people of God will not fight.
Oh, I believe your midnight's almost over, and thank God the sun is going to shine again.
As noted, the bilateral symmetry of the human form is only approximate. The heart is not central, nor are the two sides of the face identical.
because when I came back from India, I was told I came back because I had to come back because I still had attachments back in the West. And I had to come back and live out my karma, so I was ready to come back to India. When I asked what I was to do in America, they said, do your sadhana, your spiritual work. And I said, what does that include? And they said, everything you do. And I was told that I just would do, and everything would take care of itself. So when I'm asked, I speak. When I'm not, I sit in the cabin. People come, I teach. And what is awesome to me is that as I come back, there are literally, as I go around the country, hundreds of thousands of people who are ready to hear just exactly the thing that I'm involved in. Not because it's me, but because there is a simultaneity of opening in thousands of people in Vancouver, San Francisco, Chicago, New Mexico, New York. And the thing that is further awesome to me is that all my categories of who we are and who they are break down. Whole models of generation gaps and good guys and bad guys, it all turns out to be crap, because behind it all, here we are. Carl Jung said in his eulogy of Richard Wilhelm, who translated the I Ching, he said, it takes somebody who is willing to give up the Western predisposing perceptual framework sufficiently to experience another orientation towards the universe to be able to know what needs to be known outside of one's own system. You've got to give it up first. And what I felt is there has been a surrender of my Western model of who I am and how it all works. At the moment, I don't have a desire yet to bring it back into science or to know I know. I am a student. I'm a beginning student in this whole thing.
Stands up in front of all the American people and bears his soul, who brings his family with him and tells the truth and brings with him every bit of evidence that he can get a hold of to substantiate his story.
Find something out. I just go out and look for somebody that knows more than me, and I go and I ask them. Sometimes I ask pretty hard.
Their shoulders the awesome responsibility of self-government, the Athenians sought to educate themselves for freedom by the drama. It was a civic duty to attend the drama. You received a stipend to attend the drama. And the Athenian tragedies provided for the Athenian citizens a public forum in which to consider the most profound questions of politics.
It is not satisfying to be told that some pattern occurs because the computer says so. We want to know why.
Allowing it to soar, and in its soaring, it can find what it seeks, soul. Light can find what it seeks, substance. The masculine in you, regardless of your gender, can find the feminine that it seeks. The third value of mattering, the third reason we suggest that mattering matters, is that soul and spirit united in union, gathered together, bonded in love, bound by conviction, commitment, and loyalty. Soul and spirit united in union, there is conception. A conception of a new kind of dream. Mattering, with the union of soul and spirit, conceives and can give birth to new dreams. new dimensions and new octaves of dreaming. Mattering can give birth to what we've come to call adult dreams. You see, most dreams that people have are dreams that are born in the past. They're born in childhood for reasons valuable or not so valuable, often born simply as bridges. Bridges to carry a child into its adolescence and from adolescence into adulthood. Most of those dreams are no more than bridges, never meant to be manifest. There are other dreams, there are fantasies, whims and fanciful thoughts and ideas. There are other dreams that have substance, that ought to survive, that are stolen. And there is such an array of dreams within you. But they're all born of the past, as beautiful as they may be, as wondrous as they can be, they are all born of the past. There is a different kind of dream, often born in triumphant moments, often born in that union, when your spirit has found your soul, and when they have united, when they have become one.
In many years.
Where are you in your own creative process? You work a lot with family.
That's true, yes.
You know, yeah. Why that? I mean, where does that come from?
Well, I think if I look at the work that I've been doing, I'd have to say that it's about transforming experience, transforming my experience. The one thing the video camera gave me that a pen and pencil and paper or a brush and canvas didn't when I was in art school was the ability to look at the real world through an open eye and to record events as they were occurring. And that kind of direct connection to life just liberated me so much from my art school training that I could just go out on the street with these new kind of portable cameras and open this eye and take in the things that you live with on a daily basis. They weren't rarefied, they weren't special. They were just real and direct and mundane. And as I've grown over the years, I have two kids now, two wonderful kids, and a wonderful wife, and that kind of effect in my life of that process of watching a child being born, I mean, I will never forget that as long as I live.
Still being written from time to time. Beware of those who say we are the beautiful losers, who stand in their long hair and wait to be punished, who weep on beaches for our isolation. We are not alone. We have brothers in all the hills. We have sisters in the jungles and in the Ozarks. We even have brothers on the frozen tundra. They sit by their fires. They sing. They gather arms. They multiply. They will reclaim the earth. Nowhere we can go, but they are waiting for us. No exile where we will not hear, "Welcome home." Good morning, sister. Let me work with you. Good morning, brother. Let me fight by your side. These are some poems from Revolutionary Letters, a book written in the 60s and still being written from time to time.
Modern physics has had a profound influence on almost all aspects of human society. It has become the basis of natural science, and the combination of natural and technical science has fundamentally changed the conditions of life on our Earth, both in beneficial and detrimental ways.
Oh, you are so naive.
Today, there is hardly an industry that does not make use of the results of atomic physics, and the influence these have had on the political structure of the world through their application to atomic weaponry is well known. However, the influence of modern physics goes beyond technology. It extends to the realm of thought and culture, where it has led to a deep revision in our conception of the universe and our relation to it. The exploration of the atomic and subatomic world in the 20th century has revealed an unsuspected limitation of classical ideas and has necessitated a radical revision of many of our basic concepts. For example, the concept of matter in subatomic physics is totally different from the traditional idea of a material substance in classical physics. The same is true for concepts like space, time, or cause and effect. These concepts, however, are fundamental to our outlook on the world around us. And with their radical transformation, our whole worldview has begun to change. These changes, brought about by modern physics, have been widely discussed by physicists and by philosophers over the past decades. But very seldom has it been realized that they all seem to lead in the same direction, towards a view of the world which is very similar to the views held in Eastern mysticism. The concepts of modern physics often show surprising parallels to the ideas expressed in the religious philosophies of the Far East. When we use the phrase Eastern mysticism, we refer to the religious philosophies of Hinduism, Buddhism, and Taoism. Although these comprise a vast number of subtly interwoven spiritual disciplines...
Have you been monitoring this guy?
...the basic features of their worldview are the same. This view is not limited to the East.
Could be part of that dangerous science cult.
...mystically oriented philosophies.
Sometimes they throw that mysticism-oriented kind of thing in there.
A view of the world which is
just
very similar to the views held by mystics of all ages and traditions.
I wasn't paying attention
mystical
for
traditions
a minute
are
or two there. I don't know what
religions.
He said.
And mystical elements can be found in many
you are
schools
on your own
of Western
with that
philosophy.
Guy.
The parallels to modern physics appear not only
in the metaphysics. You're a full-service media broker. Yeah, I will charge a higher commission, but I will take care of you on your perilous journey on that media rodeo where prices are high, risk is capitalistically rationalized as being something you must carry, as that John Wayne you dream to be. And the real work goes on behind the real work. Something you hopefully aren't grown up enough to understand. Hopefully.
Structure of the hexagram makes its inversion ineffective in changing any of the lines.
I am with you, your co-pilot, the horse under your buttocks. All stirruped in and everything. We'll ride together to the next town and do the right things.
Idea, we had always been playing the composition Tour de France in all our tours, which we did in the 90s. And then the idea got back and some of the
German white man talking, watch out.
I'd written with my friend Maxime Schmidt in French. So working on finishing the album, which I've been quietly sleeping for 20 years, and so it's now been finished for the 100th anniversary of the Tour de France. So
dangerous and bad things happen.
No, they were
in and around
very
white people.
Surprised and happy when they got
especially in the music industry.
Music, and this year,
holy Jesus, what a whore fuck that is.
Gesture to be part of the race.
Right, I'm not one of those.
With helicopter.
Nobody fucks with my work.
In the guest limousine right behind the director of the race, who's always
those
in
white red musicians,
car,
man. Right. Holy Jesus, what a disease.
Inside the race, and that
a fungal
a experience.
Viral
so we've
progression.
Been all these Alp
despite inoculations by people of color with their
years,
earth
but now being
mother
as a guest
injections.
Inside the race and all the
it doesn't last
media,
long, and they recede back to being
motorbike, car,
white-headed whiteheads
and the public
trapped in facial tissue.
Experience.
Even a good fungusoidal scrub down won't cure.
Very often by people,
and they get back to the business of the business
yet,
of the
if they knew
banal
we were, sure
white
be
man's beat. Metronomal in its nature.
Normally recognized.
Metronomal in its function.
Thinking back, which I know
and
you
metronomal
sure
in its
to your
structure.
This is where you met Florian,
which I believe
yes,
covers pretty much
conservatory.
Yes, and some experimental,
three-dimensional,
experimental
Newtonian landmass.
So it must have been a very advanced,
which is 99% of the Earth's surface.
Yes, it was. There was like summer courses for
including the water,
music, and then we ran into each other.
Ocean floor
and stayed there from.
Whiteness is all around us now. It's a big snowed out white,
so
white out, fade to white.
Kraftwerk
fade back to white.
Years.
Who the fuck knows what's going on? I can't even tell when the cycle begins and ends. It's
we've
not
been
even
going for 33 years and
Groundhog Day
the Tour de France is now for 100 years. So
it's
there's
just
time to go.
Yeah. So
Groundhog
do you feel like you haven't
Day.
Finished your education yet?
Not at all. No. No way.
You're constantly
watch
learning.
Out for IDM.
And everyone else is learning. Who's listening to you as well?
They're taking over all fused electronics.
Chrono is the first one that I've chosen. So we'll hear that first, then we'll talk to
they
Ralph
even name it
after this.
Ambient.
That was Chrono by Dub from Tour de France Soundtracks, the new album. Ralph Luther is still with us. I'm delighted to
all
say
all the genres.
You actually made two albums, which I've never
being
heard.
Taken over by the IDM
Rail,
blob
and then VAR. In 72.
Crawling all over,
would
coast
I
to coast.
Kraftwerk albums, if I heard them.
Eating all.
The first record that you made.
That can be eaten.
It's not high rail. I don't. Doesn't exist.
And
well,
shatting
that,
it out
exist.
In there.
So what was
wait.
The first album that you made?
Kraftwerk.
Kraftwerk. Right.
Even the venerable Kraftwerk.
Right. Well, Ralph and Florian I know about, but the first
white
two I never
men.
Heard. So these names that I'm getting, well, just forget those names. The first two albums
being
I still haven't heard.
German, they're the whitest.
So would I recognize them as Kraftwerk
albums? White men, yes, save for the white Russians.
Would be recognizable.
Whatever they are.
Recognizable, but
probably in Brooklyn
from
right now.
Acoustic. Like
holding up mom and pop somewhere.
Fully synthesized.
Near Sheepshead Bay, probably.
74 Autobahn. It's really the first was.
Right, I once saw a black man in a diner eating a hamburger.
Well, gradually.
Many years ago.
Into
feeling extreme sadness.
Be truly surprised. I mean, some would say
that what's been done to Mother Earth,
as well as a musical advance. I mean, you really were.
Could not give the
but of course, white men was needed.
Yes, and we had certain.
It had to white out.
We worked very closely with some engineers.
The end of 90,000 years.
And we built ourselves the electronic drums. Of course, was
of what's been going on.
Partner and friend Florian Schneider, together with
the old story.
Friend painter Emil Schulz.
Beyond a boar snooze.
Built and
being eaten now
musical
by its other,
combined,
its Doppel
when
gang member
went into more computerized music when
re and foreshadowing it itself back on
seems
itself like a
computer world
liquid liquefied
A
bomb blast.
And then a couple of years later,
you know,
from there
back in the mid 40s when it all ended,
equipment that we have now. It's been quite a development.
Except for the injection of time travel, of course, which
yes, and it's been very helpful
all research upon was deleted and terminated and driven underground.
So you literally
the,
take a laptop and just
yes,
close it up.
Before we took
mid to late 40s.
And I was tons of equipment. And
we reverted back about 100 years technology-wise. Came out,
be out of tune,
resurfaced with the
out of
radar
tune,
range,
electricity, currency changes,
cell phone,
such a a lot of problems coming, and we've been working
helical scan, VHS
to set up for the concert.
Just a throwback.
So many, and but nowadays.
And it was sewn together by the time travelers, some of whom were
the
overhead U.S.
Well,
Protectorate.
Yeah, we presented that for the first time.
The super police.
Last year,
the fatigue-clad, above and below official bottom-line military.
De la musique, and they stayed there for 9 months. Doing their electronic
all contributing plans. To the credit crisis going on today.
Japan, Australia.
Credit. Bank heist.
Literally the same robots since they were first created.
All quarters.
They developed also, but these we have.
Everyone was called out onto the four deck for a flogging, and were culled into flogging themselves in perpetuity, I might say.
You see, you must be tempted to send a robot along to do it.
Oh, what happened to Kraftwerk?
Then you won't need to leave the home.
Driven into IDM drivel these days.
You welcome that day, I'm sure.
With that tick tocking metronomic white drone.
Soundtracks, and then we'll talk just some more after this.
That a lot of white people think they like.
That's Titanium.
God bless them.
Soundtracks by Kraftwerk, who are back.
Philosoph. Pretend I can't figure it out.
Titanium.
For to have something to do.
Parts, wheels. Aluminium
all the live long day.
So this is very close material for us.
Yeah. Well, you've always been fascinated by machines, obviously, and the
new metaphysics going on down the road. Strange long trip and playing in Papa's band and listening to Grateful Dead. Concert tapes. Been lossless on the net for about a decade already. God bless him. You know, in secret corners of the internets, very few people know about, like Usenet. I can tell you, your listeners to New Metaphysics, Usenet, one of the secret bastions of the nets, very few people know about, no one talks about. Except for New Metaphysics listeners. Great war is being fought now in the decade that came after the Great Decade, which ended about 2000. So it's like a rollback replay, redux of the replay, all cushioned in very tiny quarters because it can do that to itself. Concepts being what they are and all. Was it six shots or only five? Amidst all the confusion and all, kind of missed a decade there. Great geometric wars being fought. Especially the sacred kind that don't appear on any commercial network. You know where all the cool shit is. Gotta be culled out with a freaking psychic crowbar these days. Of course, then they fall all over you. Kind of miring and burying. Wearing down on the blockage and eating a pathway home like a backwards moving Wolverine, if one could move backwards as a Wolverine, which I'm told they can't do. Otherwise they devour the entire world. Don't fuck with those motherfuckers, I'll tell you that. New Metaphysics on this channel, tuned into this intermediated frequency.
Bill Buckley, I'd love to begin just about Yale, because there's this unbelievable blossoming of Yale public men from the 60s, basically, in this race, including Joe Lieberman and Howard Dean, as well as John.
Oh, Jesus, give me a fucking break, will you? Fucking pub speak, public speak, becomes like a Swiss cheese hole in my mind. That modern white drone covering the lands. At least on the visible part of it. Great holes being filled this decade, like gaps in a futures trade. Got to come back. Fill that linear missing gap there, the link that was missed in the Darwinian sing-song that white men dream about. And real scientists know better then, but we don't get to hear from them on commercial channels or anything. As we fade to Snow White and see what happens on the comeback.
Image that is just burned into my psyche. And that kind of emotional and psychic change that imparts to one. The same year my second son was born, my mother passed away. Those events have all become a part of my work because they are not necessarily about my family, my kids, my mother, but they are about the family, the mother, the children of which we are all a part of. And that's the kind of essence. If you can connect, this is where, you know, I don't pretend to be even begun on the work that I've done, and maybe I've hit a few things that have spoken to a lot of people, but when I look at the great artists in the past who are my inspiration, I can see that they've done something that clicks. They've hit something that is very specific and true to themselves, but it expands beyond who they are.
Sounds great. Who the fuck is John Malkovich?
People to know that, as far as I'm concerned, we've just begun to fight.
A day of honors is climaxed for General Van Fleet when, accompanied by General Bradley, he visits President Eisenhower at the White House. An occasion for the Commander-in-Chief to add a third oak leaf cluster to the Korean War Hero's Distinguished Service Medal. Reflection of a nation's gratitude for brilliant leadership of the United Nations 8th Army battling the communists in Korea. Witnessed by Defense Secretary Wilson and General Marshall. Even though on vacation, President Eisenhower has duties to attend to, such as signing the bill extending Social Security to 10 million more Americans.
That is conception. Conceiving a new kind of dream, what we call the adult dream, the dreams that are not tethered to the past, not born of the past, but born of something more, born of something beyond, born of that union of soul and spirit, awakened, often awakened, by the very sense of mattering, by the very mystery, by the very magic of mattering. Mattering matters because it feeds your soul, it awakens your spirit, and in the union of soul and spirit, it can help. It can be involved in the midwifery of giving birth to adult dreams, a new kind of dream, dreams born of the present, dreams born of the future, dreams not born of the past. Fourthly, in that pivotal position, the fourth position, mattering makes real. We've talked of it every intensive, every weekend workshop on Sunday morning. That there are certain ways in which everyone in the consensus reality and beyond that consensus reality makes anything real, brings the real into the illusion of your world and anchors it, realizing it, by giving dimension, how we've talked of it so very often, by too often we've given it, losing can re-understand on Sunday morning. That there are certain ways in which everyone in the consensus reality and beyond that consensus reality makes anything real, brings the real into the illusion of your world and anchors it, realizing it, by giving dimension, how we've talked of it so very often, by choosing and by reflection. And then there's one more, remember, the fourth, by giving things value, by allowing them to matter. Mattering brings substance and light to the realness, to recognizing and realizing in your world and in the world around you. Mattering matters because it is one of the key components, integral components, in allowing anything to be real and to remain real.
God is emptied, but this is the hour of brotherhood. The warmth that comes to the rejected of life, the shadow with no eyes, young Icarus with the broken alar bones, and the sapped and aged Atlas of the slums, devoured by the days until all days are done. To the Croesus of the breadline, gold from the sun. These sprawl together in the sunlight, the negation of life, fag ends of ambition, wrecks of the heart, lumps of the world, and bones left by the lion. Amid the assembly of young laughing roses, they wait for a rebirth under the democratic sun, enriching all, rejecting no one. But the smile of youth, the red mouth of the flower, seem the open wounds of a hunger that is voiceless, and on their lips lies the dust of Babel's city. And the sound of the heart is changed to the noise of revolutions, the hammer of chaos destroying and rebuilding small wingless hopes and fears in the light of the sun.
Being with her during her cancer in the hospital, sleeping on the bed next to her in the hospital.
gut and tells me one more time it won't let go. This is a bad place, this farm. People have died here. The wrong way.
It's all over.
Wow. What a dream.
Today, the job of building this nation geographically is completed. There are no new frontiers within our borders. So, to what new horizons can we look now? Where are tomorrow's opportunities? What's ahead for you, for your children? The frontiers of the future are not on any map. They are in the test tubes and laboratories of the great industries.
There's a tiny door in my office, Maxine. It's a portal, and it takes you inside John Malkovich. You see the world through John Malkovich's eyes, and then after about 15 minutes, you're spit out into a ditch on the side of the New Jersey Turnpike.
Sounds great.
A fifth reason that mattering matters. Mattering triggers, but it stimulates that something more, that something beyond. Just as in the union of soul and spirit, there is something more, something beyond that triggers, that can give birth to adult dreams. So mattering itself, in its mystery and in its magic, mattering can trigger, can stimulate that something more and something beyond that can be transcendent. As well as what in your soul and spirit can trigger new dreams, it can trigger and stimulate something in you that is transcendent. There is splendor that can ignite texture. This transcendent energy, this something more, something beyond, is splendid or has splendor that can ignite a texture in your being. A sixth reason why mattering matters. My mattering inspires you to be more of who you truly are. More of who you'd like to be, who you dream and desire yourself to be. Mattering inspires courage, perseverance, and conviction. These are the core components of commitment, as well as the core components of authenticity. You see, mattering engages the more of you. And it inspires courage, perseverance, and conviction, which is the very foundation of your commitment, which is the very foundation of your authenticity. Mattering inspires you to be more of who you truly are. It inspires you to be more of who you truly would like to be, desiring and dreaming yourself to be. Feeds your soul, awakens your spirit, allows for the union of soul and spirit and the birthing of adult dreams, brings realness. It triggers something more, something beyond that is transcendent. It triggers a splendor that can add texture to your being, and it inspires. It inspires courage, perseverance, and conviction. It inspires you to be more of who you truly are. And lastly and seventhly, we suggest mattering fuels. Just as it feeds soul, so it fuels presence. It fuels conscious presence. It fuels being awake, exploring, achieving, receiving, giving, being. It fuels being awake with vision, with commitment, with vision, and with wonder. But it also fuels unconscious presence. That presence that emerges from the unconscious. That presence that allows your unconscious to become conscious with elegance, with ease, with this smoothness of elegance and ease. With the elegance to be conscious, your unconscious to become conscious with elegance, with ease, with this smoothness.
The way to survival or extinction, it must be thoroughly pondered and analyzed. Throughout the book, Sun Tzu's approach to employing the army is thoroughly analytical, mandating careful planning and the formulation of an overall strategy before commencing a campaign. The focus of all grand strategy must be the development of a prosperous, contented populace whose willing allegiance to their ruler is unquestioned. Thereafter, diplomatic initiatives can be effected, but military preparations should never be neglected. The primary objective should be to subjugate other states without actually engaging in armed combat, thereby realizing the ideal of complete victory. The highest realization of warfare is to attack the enemy's plans.
Their brand driver is family magic. And everything that that company does is in and around those two words. If you take that, a branded environment such as a Disney World or a Disneyland is a logical extension of that brand.
Next is to attack their alliances. Next, to attack their army. And the lowest is to attack their fortified cities.
Film, animated film, family-oriented film is a very logical extension of that.
Thus, one who excels at employing the military subjugates other people's armies without engaging in battle, captures other people's fortified cities without attacking them, and destroys other people's states without prolonged fighting.
They had contemporary references. They dealt with contemporary events, but they were set in the mythical past to show you that these issues are eternal.
As a business, though, they also know that if they want to get into other forms of entertainment that does not fit family magic, they do not brand it Disney.
Reverberating through history.
If they want to get into adult, more serious type fare, when it comes to film, they brand it Touchstone.
When did you first do business with this Bertram?
Pipe the bimbo in red.
Mm-hmm.
Lordy.
Yeah, she's cute all right, but not half as cute as you, Dino.
Thank you.
Should try a legitimate line of business.
Why are you dancing on my head for, my man? We've been thick as molasses pie since law school.
Conning me, Dean. I read your testimony to the Warren Commission.
There you go again. Grain of salt.
You tell them the day after the assassination, you're called on the phone by this Clay Bertram and asked to fly to Dallas and be Lee Oswald's lawyer.
Right.
That's pretty important, Dean. You also told the FBI that when you met him, he's 6'2". Then you tell the commission he's 5'8". Now, how the hell does a man shrink like that, Dean?
They put the heat on my man, just like you're doing. I gave him anything that popped in my cabeza. Truth is, I never met the dude.
Oh, wonderful. One likes friends that have friends.
Indeed. I don't know what the cat looks like, and furthermore, I don't know where he's at. All I know is sometimes he sends me some cases. So one day he's on the phone talking to me about going to Dallas repping Oswald.
You ever speak to Oswald in Dallas?
Hell no. Like I told that Bertram cat, right off.
Cashew piece?
This ain't my scene, man. I deal in Munich court. I'm a hacker nigga.
And how the hell's your name getting the Warren Commission, Dean?
Like I told to the Washington boys, Bertrand called that summer and asked me to help the kid upgrade his Marine discharge.
Well, I was led to believe that Mr. Bertrand said that he would take care of
any... Oh, that's fine.
Hello, to whom am I speaking?
I'm Clay Bertrand. Whatever they owe, I'll guarantee.
There wasn't no conspiracy, Jim. If there were, why the hell didn't Bobby Kennedy prosecute it as Attorney General? He was his brother, for Christ's sake. How the fuck all those people can keep a secret like that, I don't know. It was Oswald. He was a fruitcake.
We
don't hate
this country. Communication problem, Dean. I know you know who Clay Bertrand is, all right? Now stop eating that damn crab meat a minute and listen. I'm aware of our friendship. But I want you to know, I'm going to call you in front of the grand jury. You lie to the grand jury. You've been lying to me. I'm going to charge you with perjury. Right, now, I took 9 judges on right here in New Orleans, Dino. I beat them all. So am I communicating with you?
Is this off the record, Daddy-O? Good. In that case, let me sum it up for you real quick. If I answer that question you keep asking, if I give you the name of the big enchilada, you know, then it's Bon Voyage Dino. I mean like permanent. I mean like a bullet in my head, you dig? You're a mouse fighting a gorilla. Kennedy's as dead as that crab meat. The government's still breathing. You want to line up with a dead man?
My lips, Dino. Either you dance into the grand jury with the real identity of Clay Bertrand, or your fat behind's going to the slammer. Now, you dig me?
You're as crazy as your mama. Goes to show it's in the genes. You have any idea what you're getting yourself into, Daddy-O? The government's going to jump all over your head, Jimbo, and go cock-a-doodle-doo. Good day to you, sir.
I'd love to take any questions. Yes, you've been...
Coming from a third world country, I found most of what you said pretty offensive. It's as if everyone is equal, but some are more equal than others. Who is to say whether people in the third world want a burger?
You know, I in my heart sometimes find it to agree that cultures deserve equal consideration, perhaps to develop on their own terms. But, you know, we're different. We're culturally different. We're rich, they're poor. This is the most humane solution we can come up with that stays within the market logic.
If it's all right, I could answer a portion of that question as well. And this answers the question about desire for the product, because the biggest growth areas are the developing world. And so, in fact, people do want the product. We do have a kind of video presentation about this. So, as you can see here, there's a consumer in the first world entering McDonald's and consuming a hamburger. And afterward, this is a process we're all familiar with. I don't need to explain it to anyone. But you see, it's rendered out in this style because studies have shown that consumers are most responsive to 3D animation right now, particularly in developing cultures. So as you can see, it goes through a piping system, a kind of, and this isn't unusual. We do this for oil. We could do this for food as well. And as you can see, it goes back up through the plumbing and emerges in a McDonald's. Now, the part of this video that isn't completed yet is the filtering process. There will be a very well-rendered filtering. And as you can see, that might answer somebody's question from before, but at the McDonald's in a developing country, and in fact in this country as well, you would be able to choose the number one, number two, number three, number four, number five would no longer refer to combinations of food, but rather just the number of times the product had been recycled. We're lucky to be able to partner with the World Trade Organization, which you know, has slightly different goals. Of course, McDonald's goals are to profit and grow, and we hope that we can provide a nutritious and tasty product in the process.
Our goals are to help McDonald's profit and grow and all other corporations.
More music.
He must fight under heaven with the paramount aim of preservation. Thus, his weapons will not become dull, and the games can be preserved.
Tell me, man, who sent you? I don't hear you giving me any names, so I guess when I shot you in the belly, I aimed a little too high.
No!
You keep holding out on me like this, and I'm gonna have to get really nasty.
Of elegance and ease. Mattering does matter. Beyond whatever labels, however you may couch it in cliché, beyond what anyone may couch in cliché, not only is it important to understand what in fact does matter to you, but the very concept, the very energy, the very resonance of mattering itself has magic in it, has mystery in it, has power in it. Mattering, even without knowing the detail, without the label of form, working with mattering feeds your soul, awakens your spirit, allows for union of soul and spirit, and the birthing of new dreams.
And that means we must develop a new kind of mathematics, one that deals with patterns as patterns and not just as accidental consequences of fine scale interactions.
We none of us like people with no sense of humor because their perspective is screwed up.
We shot this with two cameras so we could go a little faster.
People are customers because they are willing to trade money for widgets. And all the customers take their widgets home to all parts of the country. Look at all that money the widget builder has taken in from the sale of his widgets.
Like Mike Tyson.
What'd you say?
Hit the bumper. If you hit the pole. You send them out. Welcome back.
Bike.
You go on.
Well, why you didn't pay me for
the
sex?
Excuse me. Original news did. And things will come out better.
What are you guys doing? Sitting in the kitchen watching the meat marinate?
I need to find something out. I just go out and look for somebody that knows more than me, and I go and I ask them. Sometimes I ask pretty hard. By way of, for instance, should I kill 3 men tonight? Torturing a person. You might say I've been working my way up the food chain.
But however it is translated or mistranslated, we're not beginning with the book of Genesis. We're rather going to begin with a more preliminary, with a more basic, and I hope with a more helpful set of questions about this material. We're going to ask what kind of a book the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, and I'll use those titles interchangeably, what kind of a book this is. Those of you with access to an outline will see already that the title of that word that most of us in English use to refer to this book, that word does mean book. The Greek word for book is various versions, but all of them are based upon the name of the city in present-day Lebanon, ancient Phoenicia. Genesis. We're rather going to begin with a more preliminary, the more basic, and I hope the more helpful set of questions about this material. We're going to ask what kind of a book, the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament, and I'll use those titles interchangeably, what kind of a book this is. Those of you with access to an outline will see already that the title of that's a word that most of us in English use to refer to this book. That word does mean book. The Greek word for book is well, there are various versions, but
their credibility, their capacity to be believed on anything.
Yeah.
But that day, things went all right, and the Germans didn't harm a hair of my head, because just then some milites arrived, yelling, come on, we're attacking again. And then hell broke loose, and I couldn't think, with the cavalry going this way, and the foot soldiers going that way, with their banners and trumpets blowing, and wooden towers tall as the trees of Burmia, moving like carts with bowmen and fundibulare on them, and others carrying ladders, and all these arrows raining down on them like hail, and the others flinging stones with a kind of big spoon, and they whistled over my head like the yakuli that the detonesi threw from the walls. What an uproar! And I hid myself for a good 2 hours under a bush, saying, Santa Virgine, help me. Then everything calmed down, and some men ran by me, speaking like people from Pavia, and yelling they'd killed so many detonesi that it looked like a lake of blood, and they were very happy, because now the detonesi would find out what it meant to side with the Mediolanense.
I would be doing a disservice to God. As much as I love you and care for you and will pray for you, I would be doing a disservice to God and to the church at large to allow you to come back here now or ever.
Color and the printing. Yeah, but it goes back to my earliest memories.
What were the first?
They were, I don't know, little adventure stories about my cat. I had a cat called Snowball, and I think he had a TV show, I remember, in my comic strip. He was sort of the host of a TV show. That was it. That's something I can remember.
You went to art school, didn't you?
Yeah, I did study painting and drawing.
Did you ever think of becoming a painter?
Well, I was a painter. I did paint, so, I did. I did spend years in school painting and drawing. But I always had this sort of fascination with printing and mass reproduction. And it seemed like that was a more, just a more appealing way to have my drawings exist in the world. I do like the process, but I like the idea that everyone could own an original printed image. Take it home, read it, throw it away, you know. That's the nature of comics, newspaper comics. And I just like that.
Allows realness. Triggers and stimulates the transcendent that can be splendid. Inspires courage, perseverance, conviction, allowing you to be more of who you truly are. And it fuels presence, both conscious presence and the domains of unconscious presence, bringing presence consciously and unconsciously to you physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, awakening more of that spiritual awakening. more of the divine. Mattering matters.
Okay, thank you. Before we leave tonight, we'd like to say a special thanks. We don't have much time to thank everybody, especially to our friends in the music business and to our wonderful friends here and all of you out there for your great loyalty. This is not goodbye. It's just good night, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Of comics, newspaper comics. They'll be conforming not to the wishes of demanding parents, but to the wishes of an image-conscious corporation.
The size of the image is related to what's going on. You get a little closer. Starts looser, moves in closer. It's standard technique, really. It's told in the classic American narrative storytelling style, which can go through a lot of different ways. Technique is not supposed to show, not supposed to notice how it's being told. Panned her over to him and then brought him back over.
And I just like that.
I like to make things as simple as possible. If you can get two things for one, it's better.
I became an adult and I wanted this form to exist. That's when I began thinking about it.
A lot of talk, which was good. I think they tightened it in the editing. David Chase cuts things very tight. He's impatient with the writing. He has to be brilliant at every moment.
I always like to have a story. When I was painting, I had a story behind my paintings. And I just felt it was unfortunate that the word and the image had become divorced. And there's a painting world and there's a writing world, and the two sort of never meet. They are, you know, the word and the image are just ends of the same spectrum, and they can meet. And I sort of knew that they could because I grew up reading comics.
Now, there's another way of working this. Now, there's a guy that I've developed a fondness for called Al Barger, good old friendly Al, told us we were definitely going to get permits and all kinds of other shit in this town. He's chairman of the youth board. So I just call up the police and say, this is Al Barger, chairman of the youth board, and I'd like to know what's happening to our truck down there in Lincoln Park. Yes, sir. You know, and they get you that information right quick. And you can dress that up a little, you know. Say, I spoke to Commander Brash. They can never find these guys. See, you can never... The cops are like the yippies. You can never find the leaders.
You.
Here's a theory for you to disregard completely. Music. You know, true music. Not just rock and roll. It chooses you. You know, it lives in your car or alone, listening to your headphones with vast scenic bridges and angelic choirs in your brain. You know, it's a place apart from the vast, benign lap of America.
It's quite an honor to have the world's greatest rock critic and editor of Cream magazine back home in San Diego for a few days, Lester Bangs.
The Doors?
Jim Morrison? He's a drunken buffoon, posing as a poet.
I like the dogs.
Ah, give me the Guess Who. Come on, they got the courage to be drunken buffoons, which makes them poetic. Give me some White Light, White Heat. Iggy Pop! Amen! Oh, I just put this on. This isn't on your playlist,
Lester,
either.
I think it's a little bit early for that.
Not for me.
Okay, well, that was Lester Bangs. This is Alice Wisdom, and here's Iggy Pop.
I don't want us to replace current scientific thinking, which has brought us a long, long way. I want us to develop something that complements it. One of the most striking features of recent mathematics has been its emphasis on general principles and abstract structures, on the qualitative rather than the quantitative. The great physicist Ernest Rutherford once remarked that qualitative is just poor quantitative. But that attitude no longer makes much sense. To turn Rutherford's dictum on its head, quantitative is just poor qualitative. Number is just one of an enormous variety of mathematical qualities that can help us understand and describe nature. We will never understand the growth of a tree or the dunes in the desert if we try to reduce all of nature's freedom to restrictive numerical schemes. The time is ripe for the development of a new kind of mathematics, one that possesses the kind of intellectual rigour that was the real point of Rutherford's criticism of sloppy qualitative reasoning, but has far more conceptual flexibility. We need an effective mathematical theory of form, which is why I call my dream morphometics. Unfortunately, many branches of science are currently headed in the opposite direction. For example, DNA programming is often held to be the sole answer to form and pattern in organisms. However, current theories of biological development do not adequately explain why the organic and inorganic worlds share so many mathematical patterns. Perhaps DNA encodes dynamic rules for development, rather than just encoding the final developed form. If so, our current theories ignore crucial parts of the developmental process. The idea that mathematics is deeply implicated in natural form goes back to D'Arcy Thompson. Indeed, it goes back to the ancient Greeks, maybe even to the Babylonians. Only very recently, however, have we started to develop the right kind of mathematics. Our previous mathematical schemes were themselves too inflexible, geared to the constraints of pencil and paper. If you watch a single-celled creature under a microscope, the most amazing thing you see is the apparent sense of purpose in the way it flows. It really does look as if it knows where it's going. Actually, it's responding in a very specific way to its environment and its own internal state. Biologists are beginning to unravel the mechanisms of cellular motion, and these mechanisms are a lot more complex than classical fluid dynamics. One of the most important skeleton, a tangled network of tubes that resembles a bale of straw. Important features of a cell is the so-called cytoskeleton, a tangled network of tubes that resembles a bale of straw and provides the cell interior with a rigid scaffolding.
I think you guys, like, the WTO is kind of lacking a kind of like a human element, you know, like, yeah. Have you ever seen starving people?
In pictures, yes.
Okay. But tell me, if you saw somebody starving to death, you would probably think a lot, you know, like, that would kind of hit you in a sensitive, you know, place to say, like, oh, well, you know, maybe markets and money and this and that don't really mean as much, and actually, like, feeding people means a little bit more, you know?
Yeah. Well, it is true that there's a personal side of it that, I have to say, in the WTO, there are questions that we have about this as human beings, but we're not as subject. We have a kind of firmer grasp on theory. We are able, fortunately, to simply direct world trade in a much more theoretical way in collaboration with our colleagues at the largest corporations. So, yes, probably if I went to these countries, I'd think about things a little differently, perhaps. But at the same time, I don't think I would forget all my schooling. I don't think I would forget, you know, all these theories and so on. So perhaps one day I'll do that.
Camp Doctor.
Why would someone so highly qualified in his type of research choose to go to a place like Auschwitz?
He does his experiments on twins. Look, imagine what it is in the city of Berlin. How many twins can you study? And how many of those can you kill? Here he has 250 sets of twins at his disposal. Do with them as you might, all between the ages of 2 and 17, 2 and 18, whatever he wants to do with them.
One of the duty assignments for camp doctors was to alternate their time and meet the incoming trains carrying their unfortunate Jewish cargo to their final destination. These doctors had the power of life and death, and would indicate in which direction the people should be taken. One way was to the gas chambers, to an instant and horrible death. The other was to slave labor. Often there to greet them was Dr. Mengele, who was looking for his Zwillinge, twins.
I'd be more than willing, and if anybody else is watching overseas, and I'm sure they are, I'll be glad to meet Avril Nidal on equal terms anywhere in the world. Okay? There's an even deal for him. But I am not willing to have my wife and my four children meet Avril Nidal or his organization on his terms. And I want you to know what was going through my mind. I was about to leave for Tehran. I had already been told by Director Casey that I should be prepared to take my own life. I had already been told that the government of the United States, on an earlier proposal for a trip, might even disavow the fact that I had gone on the trip on an earlier proposal. And we can come back to that at some time if you like. And so having asked for some type of U.S. government protection for my wife and children, and having been denied that, and perhaps for fully legitimate reasons, and if there is a law that prevents the protection of American government employees and their families from people like Avril Nidal, then gentlemen, please fix it, because this kid won't be around much longer, as I'm sure you know, but there will be others if they take activist steps to address the problem of terrorism who will be threatened. One of the people killed in the Christmas massacre, and I do not wish to overdramatize this, but the Avril Nidal terrorist in Rome who blasted the 11-year-old American Natasha Simpson to her knees deliberately zeroed in and fired an extra burst at her head just in case.
In this nation's capital, the Japanese attack on Hawaii and the Philippine Islands and the torpedo assault on two American cargo ships in the Pacific. Oh, you are so naive.
George Bush the First, who was at the time on his presidential campaign, was asked to comment on the incident.
But the overall form is very close to one that has perfect symmetry.
Most of the people at Auschwitz called it Anus Mundi, anus of the world.
Now, as this is so, and as you come to understand it so, what's the resistance? Why, with all that mattering does or can be in your reality, why does it frighten? What's the fear of working with mattering? What's the fear of knowing? And beyond the label, being able to truly know, to live mattering. You see, people can be aware. They can even understand. But often people will not know. They won't live their awareness as an understanding. People can say, I have my health and that's all that matters. But what do they do with that? How do they explore that? How do they live that? People may say, I have my family and that's all that matters. And they may be aware of that. And they may even understand and be able to talk about that. but how did they live it? And what you tell yourself, whatever it may be, certainly health and family are critically, and they matter. As do other things, but they matter. But see, being aware of it and understanding it, even, that's not enough. It's important to live it, to let your life lean upon, count upon, depend upon, in the positive meaning of that word, what the mattering is all about, as well as to count upon, to lean upon, what in fact does matter. Living it is what knowing is all about.
If the WTO is serious about addressing the issues of world poverty, it would do things completely differently than it is now.
Let me bring in Bramwith on that. Is that a fair point?
Well, of course it is, but you know, I think Barry, as well as all the other protesters, are simply, in a word, focused too much on reality and on facts and figures. And I think I would have to say that this is a long-term problem that comes down to a problem of education. We have to find a way to convince, perhaps not the protesters, but the protesters' children, to follow thinkers like Milton Friedman and Darwin and so on, rather than what the protesters have been reared on, Trotsky and Robespierre and Abby Hoffman. And I think that putting the direction of education being put into private hands, concentration of resources in the private sector, will naturally lead to this result, and we'll see the protesters' children being reared with an entirely different set of concerns.
But let me bring you in on that, Barry.
Can I just say that these kind of simplistic arguments are really, too insulting to most people to believe.
Why now turn to digital over analog synthesis? Digital is not better inherently, but only if taken to the limits of its major advantage, the precision of a computer. We can certainly make the same sort of sounds we have in analog, such as sine, square, and white noise. But to justify the complexity of building sounds with more complicated tools of, say, the GDS digital synthesizer, you ought to do things that require a degree of precision unavailable in the analog realm.
You know, the fact that we have a choice between Milton Friedman or A.B. Hoffman for where we get our source of economic history and philosophy, there are many, many thinkers from around the world, just not those ones employed by the WTO, that think the World Trade Organization policies are deeply damaging for the development process of the poorest countries.
Let me go on.
And what's this 18% a year shit? You want to borrow 10, the biggest 3 bills a week, that's 15 for the big plus the 10, that's 25 big ones. You go the whole year, buddy. Hey, you hear me?
To Bramwin.
Yes. Well, I wanted to speak to Granwith's, to Barry's point that there are other thinkers, well, who actually has the power in the world, and so who is correct in this kind of worldview? I mean, I think the answer is easy, and if you look at the views held by myself, my organization, and many, many of the decision makers in the world, the powerful people, they happen to coincide with what I'm explaining, and I think this is enough in this sort of view.
So, I mean, what we have here is a picture of the rich and powerful people believe a certain philosophy, which they then propound through the institutions in which they have a powerful voice. And I think this is exactly the model that is being questioned. And increasingly, what there is a very large body of people who are concerned about these rules. The people on the streets of Genoa or in Seattle are not representative of the overall movement. They are the tip of the iceberg. We did a study last year that looked across developing countries and found that in the space of 1 year, in 50 protests, more than a million people from developing countries were out trying to change the rules that were being imposed on them by the World Bank and the IMF and locked in through the...
This is the strategy for planning offensives. Whenever possible, victory should be achieved through diplomatic coercion, thwarting the enemy's plans and alliances and frustrating his strategy.
World Trade Organization.
Right, thank you. We must finish there, unfortunately. Barry Coates, thank you very much for joining us. And also Granwith Helderbatty and also Vernon Ellis on the line from New York.
little magnetic strip on the back.
Yeah. Really beautiful.
Wow. You know what I did? I went to Google, and I went to Google Image Search, and I typed in ID card. And you wouldn't believe the numbers of pictures of ID cards that show up on the web. And I just went through and took a little bit from each one. You know, I said, all right, this one's got like a little barcode at the bottom, and this one uses the logo over here. And
That's so nice.
And when you are aware, and when you explore and understand, mattering can matter. Feeding, awakening, allowing, bringing realness, etc.
This is good. This Mr. Lovejoy? That needs a better ending, but yes, I can see why Harry wants to do it. You understand? I knew Harry was lying, saying this wasn't any good, but holding on to it, like, man, you'd have to break his fingers to get it away from him.
That's funny, because I was thinking, what am I going to have to break of yours to get away from you?
Now I'm explaining to you what I'm doing here, in case you thought I came to rob the place, to rip off any of this dusty old shit that the man has.
I wouldn't make you out to be a burglar, not in that outfit.
Harry called you his associate. What does that mean? Man, I never heard your name or read it in the Hollywood Reporter or Variety or any place.
That's what he said. I'm his associate.
You must bring something heavy to the deal.
I do. Me.
It says here you're getting Martin Weir for the part of Lovejoy.
That's right. We're getting Martin.
Come on. How are you going to do that?
I'm going to take a gun. I'm going to put it to his head. And I'm going to say, sign the fucking papers, Martin, or you're dead. That's it.
I wonder, would that work? You know who I see for the part of Al Roxy? Harvey Keitel, Mac played in his sleep.
He's pretty good. He was pretty good in that movie Fingers.
Ah, I missed that one. You know who else? Morgan Freeman. You know Morgan's work?
Morgan Freeman, yeah. But he's a colored guy, though.
So what? Or where's it saying the script the man's got to be white? Color's what the part needs, man. You need somebody to do it with some style. But what do you think of the script?
Well, the first thing that's got to go is the title. I mean, this writer's name, Murray Saffron, would be better than Lovejoy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. You know what I'm thinking? Why don't you and I, we sit down, we write the script over where it needs it.
You could write one of these.
There's nothing to it. All you do, you get an idea, you set down what you want to say on paper. Then you hire somebody else to fill in the commas and shit where they belong, if you're not positive yourself. Maybe fix up the spelling where you have some tricky words. Although, I've seen some scripts, I know the words weren't spelled right. There was hardly any commas in it at all. So I don't think that's too important. All right, you get to the end. You write in, fade out. You're done.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all there is to it. Then what the fuck do I need you for?
Because I'm offering my services on this one, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I need a ride sometime, I'll let you know.
Across that main plaza from these two great compounds was Huáscar's Palace. This is where that restaurant is where you can go have your pisco sour. And in fact, it was in that plaza itself, in the plaza of that palace itself, that the Spaniards saw the mummy of Huayna Capac seated. When they came into Cusco in 1533, he was simply seated on a dais in the middle of his palace there, and he was later secreted away. Garcilaso, who saw this, claimed that the courtyard within that palace, Huayna Capac's palace, was large enough to accommodate exercises for 60 mounted horsemen. And in front of the palace were two round structures with tall thatched roofs that extended into the plaza. One of those tall thatched structures was so constructed that in the summer equinox, no shadow was cast. And this was one of the ways that the Incas kept their calendrical round. Unfortunately, at least from the perspective of studying the Incas, many of the most important Inca buildings were rapidly built over by the Spaniards.
Well, you know what's funny? I think they're all the same. I think there's only one question. The question is, what is this really like in life when this happens? Never mind the conventions. Never mind what we've agreed about how this is done. What is it really like? And if you can answer that question, the job may be to horrify people, maybe to move people, it may be to enlighten people, it may be to make people laugh. But the question is the same, the technique is the same, the work is the same. And I've always been aware that it's much easier to do only one kind of thing. And then people give you a break. People don't alternately hail you and pee on you. If you do one thing, if you're Hitchcock, you're a master of suspense. That's okay. We can understand that. He's a master of suspense. He's the great Hitchcock. But if you do a lot of different things, you confuse and annoy people. And it looks much more different, one from the other, than it really is, because the work is the same.
And so what you do, what you're looking at is a world that won't be able to filter, as he says, oxygen. He won't be able to get the carbon dioxide back into oxygen unless you leave the trees in the ground. A tree holds 10 times as much carbon dioxide in the ground as it holds in itself. And the only plant that can substitute completely for these trees, for paper and building houses, you can build your wall board, your particle board, your studs, your struts, your beams, your long beams, your floor, and your PVC pipe, all out of hemp.
But when you can know it, when you can know beyond the labels, beyond the discounting and defending, beyond the distracting, and the denials or discountings, etc. When you can know it, or what it can feed and awaken, what it can allow, what it can trigger and stimulate, what it can inspire, what it can fuel, becomes so much more vibrant and so much more present in your world.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents Not Even for Love by Sandra Brown.
Any other product in the world, your studs, your struts, your beams, your long beams.
Perception management is a very interesting concept. It's basically a methodology.
They're selling themselves, they're selling their domination, they're selling their rule, and they're creating an image for themselves as just regular folks down the block.
Perception management is a very interesting concept. It's basically a methodology.
They're selling themselves, they're selling their
Perception management is a very interesting concept. It's basically a methodology.
Your floor and your PVC pipe all out of hemp, better than any other product in the world.
Bed by Karen Ziemba.
The man finished the champagne in the fragile crystal stem and set it on the silver tray deftly held aloft by a passing servant. The tuxedoed waiter paused momentarily for the man to avail himself of another glass of the bubbly wine, then disappeared into the chattering crowd. Reeves Grant sipped at his fresh glass of champagne, wondering why he had even taken it. He didn't want it. Everything had suddenly gone sour. Even the world's most expensive vintage left a brassy taste in his mouth. Derisive green eyes swept across the august assembly of celebrities and VIPs, surveying it with tolerant boredom. An aging but still beautiful French film star was strategically draped on the arm of her new husband.
They're not just out there for the money, and they're they want to work with us and be our friends and let us help them help us and vice versa.
Uh, uh, uh,
all of them are based upon Phoenish.
You are so naive.
The name of the city in present-day Lebanon, ancient Phoenicia, the city that we tend to call Byblos. Byblos was the city on the coast of the eastern Mediterranean through which papyrus from Egypt was shipped to the rest of the Mediterranean. And because it was the city through which papyrus was shipped, and because papyrus became, in the course of the first millennium BC, the standard material on which written things were preserved, the Greeks called books Byblos. The ancient title, actually, the ancient name of the city was Jubal or Jebel, but it made its way to the title of Byblos. So what is this book, this Byblos? It is, in the first instance, a collection of material. It's a kind of an anthology. It's an anthology of material from lots of different things and from lots of different eras.
It's my own fault. Nobody else's. I got confused. I've been having so much fun, I forgot to take my medicine.
So with all that said, once again, we return to the question, why? Why is it so frightening? What's the resistance to being conscious of mattering? What's the resistance to fully being conscious of what matters to you? Certainly, it is fear. Fear of vulnerability. Fear of visibility. That if I focus on and I'm conscious of what matters and of the mattering in my life, I become vulnerable to other people's attack, to other people's criticism, to other people's judgment. I become much more visible to myself, as well as much more visible to other people. And often it's more frightening to be visible to yourself, to be visible to yourself than it is to others. One might assume the logic, no, no, no. But indeed, how many times have you had people come up to you and speak about something they see in you that you had refused or denied or would not allow yourself to see in yourself? Sometimes visibility to yourself is more frightening than any visibility to another. But regardless of that, the resistance to being conscious of mattering and being conscious of what matters begins with the fear of vulnerability.
Let's talk for a minute about Dr. Dean. You know, you must know what and how he was destroyed the night of the yelling.
No.
There was no mic on the audience. So that he
couldn't hear.
He was yelling over the audience. Because they were yelling.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't mic the audience. It has two effects. One is it means that your jokes die because nobody's heard laughing. And the other is that he seemed like a lunatic because he was shrieking. But he had to be heard by them because they were shrieking. And it finished him. I mean, this is a serious thing. So we know that the first question, if you're running for anything, is the audience mic'd? Not only so that you're not destroyed by seeming like a lunatic, but so that they laugh at your damn jokes that you've had people write for you so carefully.
And fuel. And fuel to run the world. You can run your homes, your cars, your industries, run the whole world's fuel without ever burning another drop of gasoline. All the other plants on Earth combined, let me just get this one little piece in, all the other plants on Earth combined don't equal this plant. And it grows from the equator to the sea. It grows from the equator to the Arctic Circle, from the desert to the sea, and from to all the lands in between. The healthiest, biggest, wonderfulest plant on Earth for biomass, for making our fuel. And we outlawed it. And we're leaving it outlawed. And we're taking the fossil fuels that are poisoning your children. And you're saying, it's too dangerous to give them marijuana while you're ending life on Earth.
This yellow zoot suit with a giant pink hat, and then on top of his head he'd built a miniature replica of himself in the same yellow zoot suit and a giant pink hat, and it was attached by strings to like all of his appendages, so as he walked the little guy in his head also walked, and like if he waved the little guy in his head would wave.
Yeah, then
you know, it's not funny hanging out with you guys because, I mean, I always assume you're all that don't know this information were just ignorant like I was.
But once you hear this information, you got to check it out, because if what I'm telling you is the truth, then we have a $10,000 challenge. We've got a million people who have read The Emperor. The Emperor is the most passed along book in the history of mankind, except maybe the Bible. And I'm sure one day it's gone. I've seen Emperors have been read by 25 and 40 people in the fraternity, and everybody's read it from one cover to the other. The information, I believe, is irrefutable.
And with that, fear of vulnerability, a fear of the accompanying visibility. Another fear, a second that we would mention. There's a fear of sacrifice. When you know what matters to you, when you are in touch with the mystery and the magic of mattering, what do you have to give up? Or what do you have to become? There is a fear in here, a fear of sacrifice for some, not for all. If not vulnerability and visibility, then perhaps a fear of sacrifice. What I'd have to give up, what I'd have to become once I am conscious and much more aware of the mattering as well as what matters. A third fear that produces resistance is a fear of failure. That when you know what matters, you might not succeed, you might not get it, you might not find it, you might not achieve it, and that scares. I don't want to know what matters to me. I don't want to really face what matters to me, because what if I can't achieve it? What if I can't accomplish it? What if I fall miserably short of it? Everybody will know visibility and vulnerability fear, certainly so, but I also will know, and I'll feel like a failure. I will in fact fail.
Sarah Price.
What if I can't find it? What if I can't do it? What if I can't achieve it or accomplish it? I don't want to know. I don't want to face. I don't want to...
Thank you all for coming. I'd like to thank the organizers for going out of their way to create this panel, this luncheon, in the face of some odds, the conference having been canceled, of course. And I'd especially like to begin by apologizing for a rather sudden change in the program, consequent upon a rather dramatic development in Geneva yesterday. I originally intended to transmit today an upbeat report on some new technologies that affect agribusiness in a global sense. Instead, I find myself the messenger of some rather disturbing news. The WTO will be issuing a public statement in detail by the end of the week, but the die has been cast. As of September 2002, having seen the effects of policies whose only intent was to bring greater prosperity and peace, the World Trade Organization, in its present form, will cease to exist. Over the next 2 years, we of the WTO will endeavor to refound our organization along different lines, based in a different understanding of the purposes of world trade. The new organization will have as its foundation and basis the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, upon which we feel we can make a good foundation to ensuring that the organization will have human rather than business interests as its bottom line. The UN estimates that poor countries, the poorest countries in the world, lose approximately $2 billion a day because of unjust trade rules, many of them instituted by our own organization. And this is 14 times the amount that they receive in aid from developed countries. Liberalization, the process of liberalization, often enables the knowledge of the poor to be converted into the property of global corporations. Specific statistics are rather shocking. Out of 26,000 patents applied for in Africa in 2000 and 2001, only 31 were from residents of Africa. The rest were from residents of first world countries. 31 out of 26,000 patent applications. Disparity is growing between rich and poor. The richest fifth have 80% of the world's income, and the poorest fifth have 1%. This gap, we all know this figure, but we don't always remember that this gap has actually doubled since 1960. More and more thinkers are therefore noting that there is no evidence that liberalization favors growth or benefits the poor. Thank you.
All right, Lightman. Maybe you could tell us who first suggested the idea of reproduction without sex.
Your wife?
Get out, Lightman. Get out.
Well, you know, something really interesting and sort of scary has started to happen with movies and with the theater, and it is this. Figure Aristotle is dead, that's all over. Okay, I don't mind. I'll go without him. But there's deep confusion, especially with movies, between what the movie is about and the likability or dislikability of the characters. People now, largely, especially people who write about movies, judge the movie by whether they like the people. If a guy at the studio, and such things have happened to all of us, if a guy at the studio says, listen, does Lady Macbeth really have to be so unpleasant and so ambitious? Can't she be more of a role model for young women? No, she can't. Because character is plot. And if somebody is ambitious, it makes a story. Remember, we're here to tell a story, and there are good guys and bad guys, and you need the bad guys so that there's conflict. You remember all that? No. I just don't like her. They're very mixed up. And they basically are just about where my mother was when she said, I don't like Bette Davis because she treats people so badly. We're all confused between the dancer and the dance. And I don't know how or why that has happened, but I think it's that, God forgive me, I don't want to insult critics, but there is no longer a mutual bunch of standards.
He's a really superb movie actor because there's things that he does that register but don't seem to be as powerful as they are when you see it on the screen. He's got very expressive eyes that have a lot of nuance, which you cannot really quite see to the naked eye when you see the dailies.
Called the National Workers League. For more on the occult links to Yaquiism, see the appendix, The Devil and Francis Parker Yaqui, unquote. And in another footnote about a publisher named Adam Farfrey, who's part of the Smeal Gibb, Farfrey also published the historian Richard Drake says that while he was in Vienna, quote, Avila performed vital liaison services for the SS as Nazi Germany sought to recruit a European army for the defense of the continent against the Soviet Union and the United States, unquote. A Timberg writes as follows in New Times. In the evenings after work was done, Harper used the printing equipment at PAJ to publish a collection of essays about Charles Manson, a novel written by Joseph Goebbels in his student days, and Rants, a collection of angry essays and speeches by poet Ezra Pound, radical feminist Valerie Solanas, S-O-L-A-N-A-S, and the anti-Semitic French writer Louis-Ferdinand Seguin. Staged bank robberies and armored car holdups in the mid-1980s. They were led by the late Robert Matthews, Zine, at 37B New Cavendish Street, London, WC, where Robert Matthews, Buford Furlough, killed a bunch of people in, shot up a bunch of people, killing one in Los Angeles a little over a month later. It is the type of music, however, which millions of white Americans are accustomed to.
Be conscious. I'd hate to think, I'd hate to feel, and so therefore many people won't think or feel. A fourth fear, also a fourth resistance, the most solid, the most determined, the fulcrum of the resistance, or why you resist, a fear of separation, a fear of loss, that if I'm conscious of what matters, and if I'm conscious of mattering, what if it slips through my fingers? What if I can't hold on to it? Maybe I'm not afraid of failing. I can find it all right. I can achieve it okay. But what if I subsequently lose it? What if I slip away? Or what if it's stolen or taken from me? Or in whatever way, I'm separated from that matter and that mattering. I'm separated. I lose what matters. I lose the mattering. That far more painful than being conscious of it now. And therefore many, if not out of fear of vulnerability or visibility or what might have to be sacrificed, if not out of a fear of failure, indeed resist being conscious of mattering out of a fear of separation and loss. Beyond that fourth, and what may seem the ultimate or the final, there are three more resistances that are common. A fear of success we list next as the fifth. You see, you're not afraid you won't find it. You will find it. But what if it's not great? What if your mattering isn't big enough, isn't powerful enough, isn't far-reaching enough? What if your mattering just really doesn't matter that much at all? What if your mattering, when it's all said and done, wouldn't be enough? For some, that's very scary.
Hey, Phil! Phil, over here! Where have you been?
It was horrible. A giant leech got me.
You're missing all the fun. These people are great. Some of them have been partying all night long. They sing songs till they get too cold, and then they go sit by the fire and they get warm, and then they come back and they sing some more.
Yeah, they're hicks, Rita. So, you sleep okay without me? You tossed and turned, didn't you?
You're incredible.
Who told you?
Oh, it's groundhog time.
Okay. On me in three, two, one.
Once a year, the eyes of the nation turn to this tiny hamlet in western Pennsylvania to watch a master at work. The master, Punxsutawney Phil, the world's most famous weatherman, the groundhog, who, as legend has it, can predict the coming of an early spring.
My reaction was one of total surprise. We're expecting a speech more based on what the World Trade Organization does and its relation to Australian trade. It sort of blew me out of the water when the announcement was made that the World Trade Organization is significantly reinventing itself to focus on issues relating to people as opposed to economics, something that hopefully could be of significant benefit to the poor and needy in throughout the world, in all the developing countries. I think we're all generally aware of increases in poverty and low living standards and issues faced by developing countries. And what Mr. Spratt, I think, had to say today really gives a terrific sign of hope for what I think we all aspire to, and that's a global economy that benefits all people.
We panned her over to him and then brought him back over. And this is the first time you see the wide shot. Hitchcock once said to me, save your establishing shot. Don't use it as an establishing shot.
Never use an establishing shot to establish, he said.
So we saved it for the dramatic moment when you, at the end, when the scene has been solved, so to speak, the dilemma has been solved, we went to it there, which made it more, have it much more of an impact than it would have had at the beginning.
I don't know. It's a complicated subject, and I don't really know the answer, but it's as weird as the voting in all these championships that have taken over showbiz. Right. You know, the championship every 3 weeks, and then this big championship is the Academy Awards. But people vote so oddly now. They used to vote. It was very straightforward. You voted for the person who was sickest this year, or who has the greatest contrast, who always played schoolmistresses, and now she's playing a hooker. That was a simple couple of principles, and everybody was very happy. But now, people vote according to how they think it's going to go, because they want to be on the winning side. They want to be able to say, yeah, I called it.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's shifting to Clint away from Marty,
they'll
want to be
change
Clint.
Their votes.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do anymore with what did I really think was the greatest. Why they're comparative is not, I mean, you can't compare these things anyway. But it used to at least be some form of comparison. Now it's exactly what we just said, that they want to be on the winning side.
I thought the speech itself was compelling in terms of its information. I was astounded to find that they're actually going to dismantle the WTO. I was also amazed to see that there was an admission that perhaps it had failed. It's going to have a huge effect on international business, and particularly for us as an organisation, I feel the hardest thing I find will be the balance that, let's say, the US, EU and Japan, in terms of being major components of the world economy, the effect, you know, will they really change in terms of this new organisation, and will there actually be genuine change and perhaps a benefit to the world's poorest countries? I must admit I'm a cynic with regards to that occurring.
It wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting something on agribusiness and what the World Trade Organization does, but I'd have to say I believe it's fairly positive, because I think that, as the gentleman said, the strong are getting stronger and the weak are getting weaker, and you can't let that keep on going. And even we notice it here in Australia with some of the trade arrangements that are made. If you're powerful, you can get whatever you like, and if you're not, you can't. And it's just the world with the population we've got can't keep going that way. So I think it was fairly positive, and I think it's a very brave decision by an organisation to admit that they've been going down the wrong track and dissolve themselves and start to look for something different. And I think it's fantastic.
I didn't know she was a hooker. I didn't know she was a hooker.